this morning with the sundown shining in.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
Found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
Tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining.
Lord, all big thanks, Jax. I'm Tim Allen. Ricardo on the board. S&P futures up 850. NASDAQ futures up 51. It's nowhere near enough. We got to go up higher than that. We got to build this wealth bubble even more. Although that's good for my people, so that part's okay. We have Mr. Carl.
Yes,
Carly with us. Well, he says he's here. He's supposed to be here.
Yeah, we got him here in the meeting. I don't know. Maybe he's muted.
Maybe he muted himself.
Yeah, hold on. One second.
Carl, unmute yourself.
There we go.
Carl? Well, he's someplace. What are we doing? Well, we're...
Yeah, so I see that the mic is on now. But, yeah, for some reason we can't, like, hear him.
Well, Carl's our high-tech guy, so if anybody can fix the thing, it probably would be him.
He says he's getting no audio from us.
My feedback sounds a little weird. Something's weird.
Hmm.
We had a huge power thing last night. I wonder if it shook some of our equipment.
Oh, yeah?
Do you know if we're going out?
Yeah, I mean, everything seems okay, you know? I mean, the transmitter seems like it's getting the signal through and everything.
All right, well... we have the day two of the everybody calling for reinvestigations on Earth, and it's kind of what I wanted to talk to Carl about, which I'm sure we will in a minute. I'm looking at a picture of this kid's house. Looks like a regular old house. A couple cars in the driveway. Doesn't look like they watered the grass too much. Maybe that's not what... When you're running around with guns, maybe you don't spend your time watering your grass. But Chicago, for those who live here... for the second night in a row, but last night was even worse. I don't think I've ever seen the tornado front come like right through Chicago. They had a picture last night on TV of a funnel cloud like hanging over O'Hare Airport. I don't think I've ever seen that. I mean, it was really something. And then went off to Indiana, where I think a lot of them touched down, but I'm not sure. I didn't think too many were serious. There's no such thing as a not serious tornado, I don't think. But I don't know what happened to... further down the chain, but that was two nights in a row that you had to listen to All Was On. Was the they have a new thing here. I don't know if it's new necessarily, but when there's a tornado warning in effect for the area, they continue to I just got a message here. I'm guessing it was Carl. It's
okay. Yeah, so I just asked him to leave the meeting and log back in. Yeah, for some reason, he's not getting us. I'm trying to figure out what's going on right here.
Kevin says the stream is working, so...
Okay, that's fantastic.
So it's Mr. Tech Carl. It's the issue. I suppose we could always call him up if we had to, even though it wouldn't sound as good. We still have the ability to do that.
I think so. If you can call in, I can definitely do that.
I think if you... why don't you call him?
Yeah.
You got his number?
I do not know. Actually, give me 1 second.
All right. We had a pretty interesting night last night in Chicago, and what I'd like to do, I might as well set the tone regarding kind of what I want to talk about. And, you know, one thing's for sure, in this day and age, everybody, including me, is an expert on everything, right? Well, the fact is, we're not necessarily. We have calls for the Secret Service. I met a few guys last night for adult beverage. Everybody is a friggin' expert. Oh, God. You know, there's this building across the street. You know, two people. Carl, you with us? Thought I heard something. You know.
I think we can hear Carl. But, yeah, he can't hear us. Here, I'm going to try to,
All right, well, but everybody's there. We should have done this, and there need to be more people. And, oh, God, the, you know, the Trump campaign requested 50 Secret Service agents. They only gave him 49. So, clearly, you know, Biden's behind the assassin. I'm listening to stuff, and I never heard more garbage in my life. So, I guess what I want to try and talk to him, Carl, is what exactly is the protocol for this stuff? Who pays who? Who makes these decisions? Is there some sort of a guideline that everybody agrees with, not just, you know, one side or the other? And I, you know, it, I mean, let's go back to every former president, if he wants one, I think, has a Secret Service detail. Now, some guys, I think, after a long period of time, like Nixon said, he didn't want his anymore. I think George Bush, Carl knows better than me, maybe had a Secret Service car hanging around the ranch down there. You know, I'm not sure. But there's different, I mean, Carter at his advanced age and he's in hospice. Maybe he's got a car sitting in front of his place, maybe he doesn't. So all of a sudden now somebody's running for office. Now, somebody running for office, if they think there's some danger, they can request Congress to give them Secret Service protection, in which case they do. Now, how many, because it happened to Obama, early on in the campaign, said that he was getting some threats, so he had some Secret Service protection. Now, the question is how much? So, now, Trump has this rally, and somebody says, they got 10 people. Oh, no, we want 50. Well, you can't have 50. We don't have 50. Well, now, there's local law enforcement. There's state police. There's county. There's people. Now, they're in charge of, quote, the perimeter.
Well, hello.
Hello. Hey, how are you?
Hey, you know.
Were you hearing me at all?
Well, I'm hearing you now.
Okay. What I'm trying to do is trying to figure out as we dissect the Secret Service lady, and last night I was at a group where everybody, I was saying, everybody's a friggin' expert, Carl, and of course, nobody's an expert. I mean, nobody's... But everybody in this world thinks they're an expert. Everybody knows the plays they should call on Sunday. Everybody knows. In fact,
of course. You know, first, okay. I mean, give me my. Do you want my 30-second synopsis?
Well, I was kind of setting it up. Is that I know that every ex-president, if they want, gets quote Secret Service protection. Now, what exactly does that mean? Is there a car sitting in front of your house? If you take 50 trips a year on Trump One, do people have to follow you around? Do you have to take them with you on Trump Run? Trump won. I mean, I don't know the protocol and who pays what for who. And before I criticize, I'd sort of like to know. I mean, now, there were Secret Service people at this event. Now, it looked like there were a bunch. Now, is there...
There were some.
Okay, but I'm just trying to set it up here. But there's 20 people, that whatever the protocol is, and whoever sets the protocol. So the Trump people say, we need 50. Well, we don't have 50. Okay, well, now we got the local Leos. Even I yesterday was guilty of it. I said, how did the policeman who sees the guy on the roof, isn't he mic'd into the Secret Service and everybody else? Okay, I don't know enough about technology. I should never have said that because I don't know. Does that mean that the Secret Service has to show up 5 days later? Do they have to provide the communication equipment so everybody can talk? How does this all work, or do they not even deal with it? Who pays the overtime of the local police? Is that us? Is that Trump, who supposedly, you know, picked up $50 million in the last... I'm not talking about him. Or if it was Biden, how many of these do you get to do a day? What if you're doing five? Do they have to cover...
I know some of those answers.
Okay, well, go ahead. Because I don't know what the... Does the protocol change? What if he wanted to do five of these?
So here's the basic deal. You probably heard that Biden has now decided that RFK gets Secret Service protection. Yesterday, this was announced.
Did he apply? I mean, I thought
he's been asking for a year.
Okay.
Okay, and Biden has told him to go fight it.
I thought that now, was not a... Now, when Dick Durbin asked for protection for Obama, did he ask Bush? He must have.
And then well, Bush yeah, said yes. There's... So, yeah, so basically the... This gets a little bit into the weeds... Okay,
but it's the details that everybody should know before they mouth off, in my opinion.
Well, yes, but the thing is this: there is a great deal of discretion afforded the current president, who is the commander in chief. All right, in regards to how the resources of the Secret Service, remember, the Secret Service is actually two agencies. One does bank fraud and, you know, bad money.
One maybe does bank fraud and bank money if they feel like it.
Right. Well, yeah. Supposedly, yeah. They do that, right. And the other one is the protective detail that we all know about, which is, you know, the people that hang around the president and try to keep him from having happen what, you know, what happened on Saturday. So the president has a fairly decent amount of latitude. There is a set of guidelines on who gets protection when. A former president is entitled to protection, but he can dismiss it.
Now, what does that mean? Two guys, ten guys, right in the
Well, book? It's a fairly small detail, but he supposedly is entitled to protection.
All right, so if Trump pops on his plane and goes somewhere, does he have to take him with, or do they have to take a commercial flight and follow him? And there's a million.
Well, they should be able to go with him.
I would agree.
Right, but. Point being, there's a great deal of discretion here, and it's also resource available to a
well,
large
that's what
extent.
I mean.
Okay, so part of the thing here is that Jill Biden was doing a event at this on the same day, so you had essentially the third string people covering this thing that Trump was doing. Because they just hadn't tasked, you know, bringing on additional people. All right? And Jill Biden gets precedence over a candidate, whether it's a former president or not. So there's that aspect to it. Okay? There's also a very common aspect and a problem with coordination between different agencies, and that is that they don't use the same communication systems. So therefore, there has to be some kind of a fusion center somewhere in the immediate vicinity where you got a couple of dudes that have, you know, two sets of headphones on. All right? Because the radios the Secret Service uses are not the same ones that the local police use.
Now, who pays the overtime? What if local police say, we need 40 people on overtime, and guess what? We've got 10. Then what? Who pays?
Well, there is some debate over that, and incidentally, there are substantial amounts of money that were billed out in overtime all the way back to the last presidential campaign that apparently haven't been paid. At least not by any of the committees.
All right. If you don't mind, stop right here on the. Just for my and the listeners' edification. You just said, this is a perfect place to start, Carl. Amazing how you do this to me. RFK gets Secret Service protection as of today. Okay? So he calls up and he says, guess what? I've got this huge rally planned in open-air Gately Stadium with 15 big buildings around it. I want protection. Or he goes,
right.
Say what? I mean, now, how many people does the, quote, protection mean he demands? And if he says, I'm there tomorrow, does that mean the Chicago police have to drop everything and have 50 people there on those buildings? Or the county police help? Do the state police help? Who pays them? Maybe for somebody that, if it's Reagan, or not Reagan, if it's Trump or somebody, everybody's emotions immediately pop up, whether you like the guy or don't. Let's pick somebody nobody cares about, RFK. How is this going to work for him?
There's a lot of questions as to how this is going to work.
Well, that's what
him.
I'm saying, yeah.
Okay, right. And so there's a lot of questions as to the actual coverage here. Now, from the outcome, we can easily determine a few things that are absolutely known and factual. One is that whatever their particular level of coverage and planning was, it was crap. All right? We now know that this kid had a bolo out on him, be on the lookout.
Where did that come from?
Well, he was acting very weird around the metal detectors at the entrance to the venue.
Okay.
So the local cops who were manning that put a bolo on the kid because I mean, I don't know what acting weird is, but you know, when you do security, you see things that don't look right, right? I mean, you know.
Well, if you're experienced in the field, yes, it's like me looking at a trade that.
Well,
looks
whatever the case was, they stuck a bolo out to.
How do you do a bolo on a pedestrian and walking around a place? They put his picture out.
Well, you know, I got a dude walking around. He's this tall. He's got this shirt on. Okay. And he's acting strange. We're not sure what the blank is going on, but they're saying, you know, something's not right.
No, but so, do we think any of these people have the communication device that they can say, get Trump the hell off the stage?
Well, this is where the problem comes in, okay, is that there's the communications between these different groups is sketch at best, all right? And this has always been a problem in any interagency kind of situation, which, of course, anything like this is, right? There's multiple agencies on the ground. This is one of the primary things, and it's become more of a problem in the last 20 years or so because an awful lot of agencies have gone to encrypted communications, which of course means I can't just grab a scanner radio and listen. Okay, so if I'm the other guy who wants to be a part of this net, now I need formal command and control integration with the people who are doing it. Otherwise,
even if you want to do this, how long does this take?
Well, that depends on how competent everybody is.
I mean, do you got to show up on a Tuesday, a Wednesday to get it done, a week before, a month, or can you do it 2 hours before the event?
Well, you ought to be able to do it 2 hours before the event simply by having if there's two agencies, you got two dudes, each of which has a radio, and they're sitting across a table from each other.
Okay.
Okay.
So old-fashioned sort of stuff.
Chief, how hard is it to have a little mixing console like you do with your show every day?
Yep.
Okay. This is not hard. However, that means people actually have to pay attention and do their jobs. And it is very clear because now we have video proving that close to half an hour before this kid took these shots, there were civilians pointing out to uniformed officers that there was a kid screwing around near the building trying and climbing up a ladder. Get on the top!
But there's no, we won't know, but there's no indication that these guys passed this on to the Secret Service.
Well, they tried.
They did.
Do you believe they didn't?
I don't know. I mean, it seemed like.
Well, I don't believe that they didn't try. Okay, so
maybe. Well, I'm saying I don't know. I don't think they would have. I mean, yeah.
Well, okay. And then the other thing is that you got video of the two snipers on the roof. Okay, the counter snipers, all right, who are there specifically in case something like this happens to shoot the SOB before he can get a round off. And one's got a lock on something because he's got his face buried in the scope. All right, and he's got a cheek weld.
This
on
kid
his
did.
Gun.
This kid did not have a tripod or a scope, did he, or did he?
Well, I don't. He had some. We've only seen fairly poor resolution images of the weapon. Okay, it looks to me like it has a red dot sight on it.
Those are pretty good, right?
No, not really. It's not a scope, but it's a perfectly look at 130 yards. This is not a difficult shot, okay, at all.
It sure would be for me.
No, it wouldn't, Chief. I bet you in about 20 minutes I could get you good enough that you could hit dinner plates, which is about the size of what you have to hit, right, at that distance, but starting from zero.
When does it get to be like real tough? 200 yards, 300 yards?
Well, 300s are, you kind of got to have it. So the way to think about it is it's what's called minute of angle, all right, which is 1 inch at 100 yards.
One inch drop you're going to get.
Now, you've got to understand that, too. You got to understand the ballistics, okay, which is why when you get out to 100 yards, it's not really very important because for most rifles, you're talking about an inch or two worth of drop. So, I mean, you know, if you think about the size of, you know, obviously, what the target was, right? An inch or two of error is not going to make any difference. 6 inches and it's a miss, all right? So, but the thing is, any rack-grade rifle
the standard go into the store, buy one without any work on it, any care as to what it is. The cheapest piece of garbage you can buy is going to be able to do 1 to 2 minute of angle right out of the box with somebody who really doesn't have much in the way of competence. All right, now at 300 yards, that's a miss, but at 130, it's not.
130 seems pretty darn close for someone to be able to get there.
It is really close. Okay, now here's the thing: anybody who has ever hunted anything, I don't care what it is, understands that. By the way, one of the reasons in some places you can't use tree stands for deer is that an elevated position is a huge tactical advantage. Enormous. All right. So no way does any competent security force let anybody on an elevated position, they don't know who they are, within 1,000 yards. Now, there are very few people who can make that shot. They're not zero, though, and you don't want the don't want the guy to be the one.
What happens? I mean, who describes the event? Now, there's people allegedly, and I heard on the radio.
Chief, it took me 10 minutes to pull up Google Maps. Okay, get out the distance measuring tool that's part of Google Maps on my computer.
Well, I've heard this from a bunch of people. But I'm saying, but who?
Yeah.
What happens? Who describes? Now, I think what I heard on the radio is everybody who's inside the event is vetted like 3 times. You know, the Secret Service and metal detectors and God knows what else. You got to fill out a form and everything. So the guy, they originally thought that the shot came from inside. And the guy on the radio is going, how the hell could, between the metal detectors and the 2 forms you have to fill out, how could somebody get inside the thing? Well, it turns out he wasn't inside. But I mean,
right. Well, that was my first, when it first happened, and there was immediately video of a dude that was down and being carried out bodily, who had obviously been hit, right? And my original, and from the cadence of the original shots and the sound, the level of sound, I didn't sit down and analyze it in time or, do a time domain analysis or anything like that. But it sounded like a .22 because my assumption was that it had to have come from inside the event.
Well, I figured it sort of didn't because when the thing Nick Trump and nobody behind him went down, I knew it didn't come from in front of him.
Well, but I, and then the guys down off to the one side.
I never saw that.
And he'd been shot on that side, and I assumed that was the shooter, and he was immediately taken out. But it wasn't. That was an innocent bystander who was there at the, he was there at the rally.
The poor fire chief or informant.
Yeah, he got shot.
Yeah.
All right. And so, that wasn't the shooter. But when I first saw the event happen, my assumption was it was. And that he had, he had hidden the weapon somewhere inside the venue at some time prior, because you're not getting it through the metal detectors and the screening. Right. That's not going to happen.
Right. So the dude is walking along, and he's a person of interest already. What's he carrying? Is he got a duffel bag? He's not carrying the gun, is he?
Okay. So it gets even more stupid. On the last day, we've learned that he was seen pulling out and using a rangefinder. All right, so the kid's calibrating the distance.
From the ground or up top?
From the ground, but, not that much different, right? I mean, you can figure out how long is this building? I'll take a guess, I got my golf range finder. Okay, that's 10 yards. Then he disappears. They lose him. Then they see him climbing. Now he's got a backpack. All right, well, guess what's probably in the backpack?
Yeah.
Right, nice big one, right? And then for close to 20 minutes, you've got civilians on the outside of the rally pointing out that there's a dude low crawling on the roof.
Do we know, I mean, when we talk about the logistics of this, do we know that there was supposed to be, according to somebody's protocol, 50 local law enforcement? Did 30 show up? Did 50 show up? Who's running those people? I mean, and it seems like there's a lot could go wrong the way these things are organized. I mean, it seems to me these outdoor events. I mean, inside this, the United Center, I think that's gonna be pretty. Or inside the thing in Milwaukee, I don't think you have a. I would hope you don't have a problem, but I mean, it seems like it's a little kind of scattered. I mean, how good are the people in Butler, Pennsylvania? Was it a Were they all drinking? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just, it seems like you leave, just what you've been saying, there's gaps here. And I guess
there is.
And the lone wolf kind of guy, sometimes if you just stumble along, you can go from gap to gap. I mean, is that kid that good?
Well, he's
dead now.
He's that lucky. Okay. I mean, there was a lot of luck that somehow this kid manages to get into the, you know, into position up there on the roof and nobody stops him. You get a cop that climbs up the ladder, he points a gun at him and he retreats. And everybody and their brother initially, when that report came out, said that was, you know, that he should have drawn and fired on him. No, sorry. If you come up the top of a ladder and you're counting rifling, you move 1 millimeter towards trying to engage and you're dead instantly.
Well, now that's also a guy that probably wasn't mic'd up, probably didn't have the right communication.
Well, you know, so what you do is you go down the ladder and you grab the microphone, right? Use a radio.
Well, you pull out a gun and shoot one in the air.
Well,
then you might get shot, but still.
You know what? No, you don't. I know a lot of people have said that, but, you know, you're responsible for every round that you fire, and if you don't know where it's going...
I get it.
Yeah, I mean, that's an easy thing to say, but it's not really true.
Well, I'm saying there, some warning of some kind, looking back on it, that's what I don't want to do to myself or anybody else. You don't want to say what I would have done because you weren't there.
Right. I can't fault that the guy went down the ladder and attempted to communicate, you know, and say, hey, we got a serious problem here. There's a dude just pointed a rifle at me. The thing is that you have so many layers. I mean, by the time you get there, you've screwed up so many different ways.
Right, well, there's always a chance to make the save.
I'm just saying, so many stupid things have happened at that point here's where I'm going to go with this, okay? Then you see them swarm, you know, the stage after the rounds go off, right? And, you know, Trump does his iconic thing, you know, basically the equivalent of F you to the guy who just tried to kill him, which is rather he won the election in that moment.
Well, we'll see.
Well, he did. I think he did. Okay. There's a visceral reaction that happens because, you know, if the flag goes up when you're president, you certainly don't want the guy that hides under the desk. You want the guy that stands up and says, you can bite me, here it comes. And that's, you know, that's what you saw on display. Now, whether, you know, what does that shave? What does it change? I don't know. But you look at what happened with Reagan's popularity, you know, when he got shot. It's a long way to November, all right? So, I mean, things can obviously change. But the other aspect of this is that then they get him out to the car, and one of the clearly on protective detail Secret Service agents, all right, it's a girl, they shove him in the car, and then she can't reholster her weapon. She very nearly, by the way, that is one of the primary ways you get negligent discharges, is fumbling around with a gun trying to get it back in the holster, okay, because you can hit the trigger doing that, and if you do, of course, the gun goes off.
Isn't that one of the latest theories and where the second bullet, third bullet came from with Kennedy?
Well, there's a lot of theories.
No, but isn't that one of them?
Yeah, it is. And but you know, here's the thing that gets me about this is that if you are on the protective detail, your job, if the rest of the people in your agency screw the pooch, your job is to physically get between yourself and the protectee and take the round. That's your job. All right. Now, if you don't like that job, you shouldn't take it. But that is the job. Here's the problem. She's 5'4",
yeah,
and Trump's 6'2".
Well, all right. That's an issue.
Now, well, you know what? Do you know why she's why you have a 5'4 woman on the detail when the protectee is 6'2"? Because we have a DEI hire as the chief of the Secret Service.
Well, Carol, I know you're going with this, but...
Excuse me. The first job of somebody on the protective detail is if you screw everything else up, you get between yourself and the asset, and you prevent the target from being shot, even if it means you get shot.
Well, in Chicago, we have all kinds of 5'4" ladies on the police force, and oh, by the way, we even took the billy club away from them. So what exactly, other than shooting somebody, are they supposed to do?
Well, Chief, there is a reason that this push for that I've named DEI, and you saw it on display Saturday. This garbage has to stop in critical things, because if it doesn't, you're going to get up in the morning, you're going to turn the lights on to go take a pee, and they ain't going to work, and then your toilet's not going to flush. You cannot place anything in front of competence, especially when it matters.
If there's
nowhere else that it matters here.
I think that we should do whatever we can to make sure that people who want to take police tests, they can't tell somebody to grow, and fire tests, where somebody wants the education, so they want to be a fireman, a policeman, they can knock themselves out and they can get it. But at the end of the day, I'm never going to hire the person who's 500th on the test over the guy who's 50th. I can't do that.
Well, guess what?
It's me. I know what's happening.
Of course it is. And again, you don't hire somebody who's 5'4 for a protective detail to cover an asset that's 6'2.
It used to be people where these guys were all huge.
No!
Yeah, well, that's why.
Well, that's why. And
all right, we got to dash here. If we get Joel, you got a 10-minute break. If we don't, we'll bring you right back. How's that? We're not sure, but SP Futures up 8, NASDAQ Futures up 49. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. I think most of you know that I'm also the Chief Investment Officer at PTI Securities and Futures. There we invest for and help a wide variety of clients, and you know what? No two are the same. Some have legacy stocks, some concentration issues, some maybe embedded tax issues. The others might need or want some portfolio protection. There could be estate issues or maybe new family members. The point is that we are all unique and the portfolios should match. However, the last several years have seen a relatively one-way market. It seemed that all we needed was to be all in. No protection, no fixed income, just be all in, no matter who you are, what your risk profile or age. Most management firms love that. Take this and like it, no matter who you are. Be careful with that. You are not everybody. I think most see the market view going forward as maybe different than the one looking back, so your portfolio should reflect that. Maybe just as simple as your life station has changed. Towards that end, we are accepting some new clients needing a more personal approach and are interested in negotiating the future and not with a portfolio designed for the past. Find me at 312-663-4310. That's 312-663-4310.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here. Right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tamar Ricardo on the board. S&P futures are up 8. NASDAQ futures are up 43. We had Bank America earnings. Let me get those guys up here. We're better than expected, evidently. I'll get that in a second. Dow futures are down 8. So what do we got in the Dow that's down? We got Amazon up 119. Apple up again, 65 cents. Remember, every dollar in Apple is $15 billion in market cap. Caterpillar is up 223. We got IBM up 182. So mostly green in there, but not huge. Over in Europe, these guys were down yesterday. Down again today. DAX down 94.5%. FTSE down 34.4%. CAC around down 60.8%. As they've been leaking south again a little bit, the CAC around. I'm not sure where Macron is, as well as other news, and putting his government together. Maybe Carl can opine on that. Nikkei up 84.2%. 41,275. Hang Seng down 287. Again, ducking under 18,000. 17,727. And Shanghai continues to do like nothing. It's up 2. 29.76. That's a story there. Maybe we'll get some sage story on that out of Russell tomorrow, because he knows more about that than moi. Dow yesterday up 210, S&P up 15, NASDAQ up 74. Records pretty much S&P and NASDAQ, I believe. The bonds down 5 basis points, 4.18. Everybody's convinced now Trump is going to cut rates, okay? And plus we had Powell's talk yesterday that I'll talk with either with Carl or with Hal in a little bit, because I was ready to shoot the TV, but I don't have a gun, while he was talking yesterday. Bund down 4 basis points, 4.23. Japan down 2 basis points, 1.02. We've got oil down $1.23, so ducking here a little bit. 80.68, still over 80, but not at the top end of that range anymore. Brent down 114, 83.71. Natural gas unchanged, 216. RBOB down 3 cents, 245. That's good news for those of us with trucks. Gold up 16.80, 24.45. Silver up 18 cents, 31.12. Copper down a penny, 450. We got Bitcoin up 122, 63,669. It was under 60 Friday or Thursday, so it's had a big run in the last couple days. And we have foreign exchange, which has really been causing a lot of this. The euro is unchanged there, but it's up to like 109. We were under 108 maybe 10 days ago. It's a pretty big move. It's like 2% or 1.7. We have the British pound is at 129.6, almost 130. They were under 128 as well. The dollar has been dropping. Japanese yen was at 162 to the dollar. It's down to 158. So that's, again, kind of a move in the last few days. We'll get some comment out of that from Hal or Carl as well. Carl, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. Great weather last night, eh?
Morning, Chief. Yeah, that's right. My basement got flooded. It was fantastic weather. Currently 6:41 a.m. here in beautiful Chicago. 68 degrees right now with a high of 80. Mostly cloudy and cooler, but humid. Very, very humid. Tonight will be partly cloudy and humid as well. Low of 69 degrees on a Phoenix, Arizona. 90 degrees right now with a high of 110. Mostly sunny and very warm. Breezy this afternoon. Tonight will be mainly clear, windy, and very, very warm. Low of 90 degrees. On the traffic in Chicago, inbound Kennedy from Monroe, 16 minutes. Inbound Edens from Lane Cook, 40 minutes. You're looking at 28 minutes. Inbound Eisenhower from Wolf. 20 minutes inbound Dan Ryan from 95th and Stevenson from 294 to the Dan Ryan, 30 minutes. Lastly, sports, the MLB All-Star Game is today at 7 p.m., the National League versus the American League. Want to make sure you was there for that. And the lastly, Copa America, Argentina wins Cup Final 1-0 against Colombia, and Uruguay takes third place. Lastly, Spain wins Cup Final 2-1 against England for the Euro Cup. That's all I got for you, Chief.
So, Ricardo, unlike baseball, is there crying in soccer? Everybody's crying. Everybody's faking injuries. What is with this?
There is a lot of crying. Yeah, emotions run high during final games and stuff. You know, especially, you know, there's a couple of players there that have been like a big part of football history or soccer history. Sorry, and they're on their last leg now. So I'm pretty sure there's a lot of tears for that too. You know, they're close to retiring. They can't do the whole game anymore. So, yeah, emotions are high, man.
Well, an hour and a half in 85-degree heat, that's tough.
Oh, yeah. I'd be crying, too.
Yeah, I'd be doing something. I'd be being carted off. Carl, there's a, you know, I've had a chance to think about this and think of all the questions that maybe nobody else is asking. Obviously, somewhere along the line, and you're not going to get it out of the Republican side, sorry, this whole idea of 20 million of these AR-15s in circulation, I saw that. I about reached for the air sickness bag. 20 million? I mean,
why is that such a shocking number?
Because maybe I never saw it. I knew there was a lot of them around. I know two people that have one. Neither one should have. But
why are they felons or something?
They have no idea how to use it. They've got some idea of people rushing their house or the government rushing their house. It's I don't know what it's for, right? I mean, my concern is, and I know where you are on this, and my opinion is, we're way past the part of telling somebody they can't get a gun because everybody else has got.
I was going to say the first thing I would say, if you really think that somebody's going to rush your house, it's probably not going to be the government. It's going to be some thug trying to break in at 3 o'clock in the morning.
All right, I know all that stuff. I'm trying to.
Well, would I use an AR-15 in that situation? Well, probably it wouldn't be my first choice, if for no other reason than if you fired that thing inside the house, you're never going to hear anything again, because you're not going to have muffs on.
Well, okay, so
at 3 o'clock in the morning, okay. You're certainly not going to have the presence of mind to grab your shooting muffs before you shoot, right? You're going to grab the gun, and if you have to shoot, you're going to shoot. The loudness of such. I mean, there's a reason that they tell everybody. You know, when you go to a range, first thing is eyes and ears on, right? Because the gun ejects casings. You could get hit in the eye, and if so, you now have one eye left. And secondly, is that the hearing damage would be instant and permanent, especially if it's an indoor range.
All right. So okay. Despite all that, this kid's old man's got 20 guns, right, or something along those lines.
Okay, that's not a huge number, but yes. Okay.
So all right, if I were going to put a chart out there, so all the people who own, not everybody, all the people who own 20 guns, and all the people who maybe we would like to see own 20 guns, how many people are on the same list?
Oh, I don't know.
Five.
But you know what? That's not the. So there, you could do the same thing with cars.
How many people have
more than two?
All right, in the last 2 years, and again, I'm just pointing stuff out. I'm just pointing stuff out. In the last 2 years, we've had. Well, this I think is a horrific event. I mean, I'm no fan of Trump, but I sure as hell want the guy shot. That's not us. Well, I guess maybe it is us these days. I don't know, or we're maybe going back to...
If you look around social media and in fact, in congressional offices and the people who work for them, yes, it is.
Okay, what I'm saying is...
A couple of them got fired for it.
In the last 2 years, we've got the Highland Park kid, and now we got this. I'm sure there's a gazillion other ones. These are the two I'm kind of focusing on. And both of them, the parents got all these guns, and they seem to have total inability to realize their kid is a friggin' loser. And they have the kid has access to this stuff.
So, Chief, how many people were shot in Chicago over the 4th of July weekend?
I get it.
How many rifles were used?
Can we? I saw that kid in court. The kid from Highland Park. I hadn't seen him before.
Yeah.
I looked at him and I go, that kid has all kinds of problems. I mean,
no, really.
What kind of responsible adult would let that kid? Near a kitchen knife, much less guns.
By the way, both of this kid's parents are counselors.
Whatever.
Want to take a bet on how many drugs he's on?
But I'm saying, how do you not... If I would say most of the parents that I grew up with, first of all, most of them didn't have guns unless they were policemen. But if they did, if the policemen knew they had a kid that was unstable... I think the gun was like 40 feet higher than the kid could get. I mean, how do these people recognize? I guess my next question is, how many people, young people or maybe some old people, because of COVID, in their parents' home are sitting in the basement locked up where nobody knows what the hell they're doing, days on end, and who they're talking to and how much hate is spitting back and forth, and then all of a sudden you have them right next to a gun locker? I mean, you got to have more common sense than this, for God's sake.
Well, you know, again, I think it comes back to, you know, what you said. You got to have more common sense, for God's sake, okay? Firearms are tools just like anything else, like axes or cars or trucks or whatever have you. By the way, let's not forget that the police have reported that the kid had an IED on his person, and a detonator in his pocket, and there was a bomb in his car.
Now where do you get that stuff?
Well, you know what? You can't go down to the bomb store and buy it, right? So the idea that we somehow can stop people who are intent on mayhem by saying, you can't buy this firearm, is the most stupid thing I've ever heard. An AR-15... is a very popular sporting rifle for a lot of very good reasons. Not the least of which is that you can customize it to be whatever you want it to be at reasonable cost because it has standards and the parts are interchangeable. It also means if something goes wrong with it, you can go buy the part that's broken for a few dollars and fix it instead of having to send it back to the manufacturer. And by the way, that's a serious pain in the butt if you've ever had to do something like that, because there's all kinds of restrictions on transporting them through the mail and, you know, whatever have you, right? So if you ever have to actually send one in to a manufacturer because there's a problem, you can't fix it yourself because you can't get the parts or whatever have you, that is a serious issue. And then the other thing is, it is relatively light in its recoil, which means people of smaller stature who want to go plinking.
Well, plus
the
darn
range.
Thing is so light, it's scary. I mean, I've held
one. They're not that light, Chief.
Well, they're lighter than you would think by looking at it.
No, they're not. No, they're actually not. A hunting rifle for deer is optimized to be light. It also kicks like a blankety-blanking mule as a consequence of this. It is not fun to fire at all. But if you're deer hunting, you're going to shoot exactly once, because then everything within a mile
is rather aware that somebody's out there making loud noises.
I'm with you. I watch. I'm actually, like I said, I don't own a gun, but I'm interested in the history of guns. Actually, in one of the books I have at home that I haven't read in 20 years, but if you read the history of Colt manufacturing, it is fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as a matter of fact, everybody, if you were to ask, you know, 1,000 knuckleheads who invented the assembly line, what are they all going to say?
Probably Ford.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't. Colt did.
Right, I know.
like decades before Ford did. My point is, I get it, and I watch the YouTube stuff when people talk about, you know, the old Colts and the old this and that and the other thing. And I see these guys that are collectors. I watch them. They are so good. They never, they hold it just like they're supposed to. They never point it at anybody. Everything is checked. I don't want to bother any of those people at all. Yet I also know there's a million losers which got them in their house and their kids they can't control. And, well, I mean, what if this guy shows up with a gun like this? Let's forget the name of it. What happens if 20 people showed up with guns? Now, are we going to say the local law enforcement should have had 500 people there? That somehow Biden, or are we going to have the local, that somehow there should be 300 Secret Service guys? And what if anybody, were to have one of these things at 10 in the morning, one at 2 in the afternoon, and one at 5 in the afternoon, all on county fairgrounds, all, you know, an hour and a half flight apart, and who the hell gets, is there some limit to what we have to do when these guys are raising money hand over fist, and how much do they have to pay for this crap? I mean, these are questions that I guess I'm never going to get an answer to, but they pop into my numbers head.
Well, the rules when it comes to something like this are pretty simple. All right? Everybody that wants to come into one of these events is screened. I just went to a musical concert downtown Knoxville last week, and I had to go through a metal detector in order to get in. Right? Why? Because I might have a pistol in my pants, right? And they're kind of interested in that not being the case. Okay, I don't have any problem with that. Same thing goes on at these. We're talking about a basic failure. You have to have enough cops to secure any elevated position within 1,000 yards. That's the end of the conversation.
Right,
and if you can't secure it because you can't, you don't know who could potentially get up on it, then you put one of your guys up on it. And you have that sector of fire covered.
I get all that, but I'm get it because you're telling me, not because I knew it beforehand. I'm learning a lot by this, by the way, so thank you. But why don't I, if I'm Biden, or if I'm in charge of this Secret Service, I walk out tomorrow morning and I tell Biden, Trump, RFK, Carl, Chief, whoever the hell, we're not covering anything that isn't an enclosed venue. If you want to do this outside at a park, knock yourself out. We're not coming.
Well, you know what? After this happened, and I started analyzing the number of stupid things that had to occur, my first reaction to this is that Trump has enough money. He ought to turn around and buy his own security people and put them up on top of every roof within a half mile.
That would be, I don't know if that would be my solution, but certainly would be a thought.
Well, that's my answer to it, because if you've got people who are hired for diversity, equity, and inclusion, and by the way, they happen to include a 5'4" woman who's assigned to put her body herself and a ground, I'm going to say, that ain't happening. Here's my 6'4" dude. He weighs 300 pounds. He's a linebacker. And, he's he's one of the five personal bodyguards.
I'm just talking about just simple stuff, which happens. We're nothing. My guys, maybe even the Secret Service says, wow, the place you picked, we need, for us to try and cover it, or for me to coach somebody else to do it right, we need 40 local guys, or girls, or whatever.
Yeah, and they say they ain't got it.
They say we ain't got it. So then, all of a sudden, you call up the state police in Pennsylvania, and they go, we can lend you 20 guys, but by the way, they're $40 an hour, it's an overtime day, or 50, or whatever the hell it is. Who's paying for it? Now, does Trump write that check? Do we write it? Who writes it? Trump's the one who's making all the dough, it appears, I'm not saying, or Biden, or the D. I mean, at some point, who ponies up that money? Or did you say,
my answer to that is, if you're going to run an event like that, then you're the guy that ought to fork it
up. Or what if they say, we don't have the 20 guys, and somebody dumb enough, maybe it's Trump, maybe it's Biden, says, that's okay, we're going to do it anyway. Then what?
Then if something bad happens, it happens. Look, somebody could decide that they don't like me.
Yeah.
Okay? And they're sitting on their roof behind the peak, and I go to get my mail this afternoon, and... All right. I mean, how many elevated positions are within 120 yards of my mailbox? More than a couple.
I must have driven by 1,000 of them today on the way in.
Well, yeah, you did. And oh, by the way, it's one of the reasons that urban situations, if everything really gets nasty, I don't even need a gun. I just go up on the roof and throw bricks at you.
Oh, yeah. Nice big racks or something.
Yeah.
Maybe even a bow and arrow. I don't know how to use one of those either. But that'd be kind of interesting, archery, you know, but...
Yeah, I just find, you know, there's this event is emblematic. You know, it's like most of the time when you have plane crashes, it's not one thing that went wrong.
All right.
It's 10, right?
Hey, did you ever, I hate to interrupt, did you ever see that movie with, I think it was with, that was his name. He was in The Odd Couple. He was in this movie where there was a in midair plane collision, and the movie started with these two planes banging into each other, a private jet and a commercial liner.
Yeah.
And then the movie cut back to like 4 days before, and all the million things that had to happen.
All the bad things that had to happen
to get those two planes in the same spot at the same time. Actually, it's fascinating. I don't know if the movie was that good.
Chief, think about the number of these though that we've seen lately. Okay, we have a couple of people up on the ISS right now who can't leave, and the NASA people and the Boeing people have been lying about it for the last month. They originally we were told this was a helium leak issue. It was not a huge deal, but they wanted to figure out why it had happened. Okay. Right, the truth has now come out. The reason they can't leave is because the thrusters are overheating. You have to have those in order to get back where you want to go. Now, from low Earth orbit, actually re-entering and surviving is not all that tough. But you might come down in the middle of a tree or in an ocean or somewhere else. It's very inconvenient if you don't have control of the trajectory.
Yeah.
Right? And that, by the way, is a good way to die. So that's bad. All right, well, guess
now,
what?
Now, are they supposed to be able to land this thing like the shuttle?
Well, no,
down parachutes.
It's got parachutes, but it unlike, you know, our Apollo and Gemini and all that, they came down the ocean. This thing is designed to land on ground. All right, so if you land somewhere very inconvenient, it's really bad. All right, like in the middle of the Grand Canyon, would not be good. Bouncing off the sides of the walls as you're coming in, that would suck. So the problem though that I have with all this is that these designs, they apparently have found in ground tests that, yeah, they've got this overheating problem. Okay, why weren't those tests run before they put a couple of people in there and blew them up into space? You know, this stuff is not just in one or two places, Chief. It's everywhere, and it's people that are being... Look, we put guys on the moon, all right, using slide rules... Because the first rule was, do it right, don't do it fast, and by the way, we're hiring the people who are best at what they do, and if you suck, you're out. End of conversation.
Carl, when
now,
I was...
We don't do any of that anymore.
Carl, when I was in grad...
Chief, didn't we just have AT&T have all of their call record-level data stolen? OPM had the entire database hacked. You know what? I've been in computer programming and network operations for 40 effing years, and I'm going to tell you right now, the reason these things keep happening is because these companies and these organizations are hiring people that are incompetent, and they're not getting rid of them and putting competent people in there.
Long story, I won't tell it. I'm having an issue with the title on the truck I just bought, right? One of these days, I'll tell a story, but it turns out now that the same hack that hit all these auto dealers also hit the Secretary of State's offices in some of the states.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
So, I guess my question is, when I was in grad school, University of Chicago, and you take advanced finance and advanced marketing and all this stuff, someplace along the way, Carl, you reach the point where, hey, you know what? At the upper level, they're all the same subject. Right? I mean, you can't have advanced marketing if you don't have a finance department. You can't have advanced finance department if you're not selling anything, right? So I mean, it's all, if you don't have all of them, you don't have any of them, you know, at some point. And how many times in the times you've been on the show and with other people and people you talk to outside the show, obviously, and what you write on your nice thing, this is this generalized incompetence.
Yep.
Becomes, it's all the same subject. I mean, I go out and watch softball games now if I'm walking through the park. Kids don't know how to throw a cutoff pit. They don't know who to throw the cutoff pit. There's a general incompetence around, and everybody's convinced they know everything because they're looking at their phone. And I see people, you know, on the side of the road doing the stupidest things they've ever seen when their car's, you know, not running or something. They don't know what side to get out on. They don't know how to protect themselves. You know, is there just this general? I mean, and I watched a thing about D-Day the other day, and we put, you know, piers in there. And we how many zillion pounds of crap did we land in the first 5 days? I guess we just gave up on this thing in Gaza now after the thing blew away.
We did it over in Gaza, but we couldn't manage to keep it up against ordinary storm. I mean, it wasn't.
Well, now that we gave up on it. We tore it down.
Tore it down because we did bother. But you
know I'm saying, is this everywhere to the point where? I mean,
yes.
I didn't. George Bush 1 or 2 did not deserve the incompetence where people got all these reports about guys flying planes, didn't care if they landed. Oh, by the way, they look like they're Arab.
Oh, by the way, I met one of the flight school guys.
Really? I mean, I'm saying he didn't deserve that. Mayor Daley in Chicago, I like the guy. We were acquaintances. I don't know if you recognize me now. We used to talk all the time. When the guy poked through the city tunnel system,
yeah,
and there was a report, the thing was leaking for what, 12 weeks?
I remember that.
And the repair thing was sitting on somebody's
desk. Well,
it wasn't
that long, but they didn't bother doing anything about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they had all kinds of time to fix it. And he didn't deserve that. I mean, these guys don't deserve this crap. It's people under them going, you know, I mean, Obama, you know, I don't know how, I'm not the most massive fan, but he did a interview with, like, was it Leslie somebody one night at the White House, and they're walking around, and she says, what's the hardest part of the job? And he goes, something landed on your desk that should have been taken care of 12 layers below, and everybody screwed it up all the way, and now here it's on your desk. It has no business being here. I mean, it's not like these people don't recognize they have this problem. I mean, why is it that people is incompetent?
Because there have always been incompetent people, and there will always be incompetent people. Okay, that's just humanity. We're all different, right? We're good at some things, we're bad at others, and that's not surprising. The problem is that institutionally, as a matter of public policy, the requirement to have a particular job, is no longer whether you're any good at it. It's always something else. And you know what? You can go ahead and you can make people make excuses for this. Well, you know what? You almost had a presidential candidate killed as a consequence of it. You also have had, you know, we've had several hulls lost, Boeing aircraft, the 737, the MAXes. All right, we had two airplanes that went down. You got guys stuck on the ISS right now as a consequence of the same thing. You got all this stuff. And I'll go ahead and I'll pick on Tesla. Musk seems to think that he's got the answer with artificial intelligence to be able to automatically have a car drive.
Is there a bigger ego than
on the road 10 years ago?
Is there a bigger ego than that guy's got?
No, I don't think so. And you know what? But here's the thing: this stuff's institutionalized because we have allowed and mandated. In many cases, when you're talking about government situations, you have entities out there, you have so-called public interest law firms that take a look at the composition of a workforce and say there aren't enough black people, so we're going to sue you.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, guess what? The last time I checked, the most important thing is that the guy that you hired can do the blankety blanking job.
Not anymore. I mean,
obviously not.
We've gone through, we're going to dash to hell here in a second. We'll have you back on Friday. Actually, Thursday's kind of open. Lou and...
He's really on his soapbox.
Yeah.
Carl.
Mike, you're just unmuted, bud. You got to mute.
Exactly.
But I'm saying, Carol,
it's both. He is a know-it-all. He really does think he's a know-it-all.
Oh, Musk, yeah. Well,
I got you.
But okay, we got to dash here, Carol. But I just, my last thing is that if you just look at the numbers, and you know, and there's a history of, you know, some people were favored, others weren't. I get all that, but if you're looking for somebody for a job, and all of a sudden you narrow it down to, well, there's a lot of women around, so it has to be female, it has to be gay, it has to be black, it has to be white, it has to be something. What you're doing is cutting out the amount of people that you're looking at when you're trying to be finding the most competent. Now, I would, after all these years, if I found two people that were exactly even, and one happened to be black and one was white, and one came from an area where everything fell right for them, and one pretty much got there on their own, I might pick that person too. You know, just because they might have a skill set or a drive.
That's not how it is.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about that at all.
That's right.
You know. So anyway, Carl, let's continue on Friday. I want to talk to the professor here about the. By the way, Jenna, look at the Jay Powell stuff yesterday. Now, if you and I were
oh my God,
if you and I were interviewing him, would we be asking about how he worked out?
You know, the Jay Powell stuff. I would love. I think we should take at least 15 minutes on Friday, and focus there.
Yeah,
because that really does matter to absolutely everybody, and the people who listen to that. Yeah. I don't watch such things on my main television because I might go get an axe or something and put a hole in it, and then I've got to go buy another one.
Yeah, it's bad. Well, let's kick it around on Friday. SBFear's up 9, NASFear's up 51. Be right back, Professor Helsner.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here. Right now.
Hear ye, hear ye. The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ricardo on the board. SP Futures up 9, NASDAQ Futures up 51. Now, in order to be a regular day, we got to get the NASDAQ Futures up 150. And the Futures, the S&P is up 30. So that would be like a regular day. So we got to goose this moose here. Hal's out there buying right now, aren't you, Hal?
not really. I wish I had the money to.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah, you know, buy, they say. what was the movie? Get back. Neck, what in the movie though? It was get back in there and sell. Was that Rand?
Well, I'd probably end up like them and coming to America, homeless in the street.
Which one would you have been, Mortimer or Randolph? The guy.
You know, I forget which one's which. I think I probably would have been the one. I think I would have been the one that was wanting to give him a chance and was hoping that Eddie Murphy could pull it off.
I think that was Ralph Bellamy. I think that was Ralph Bellamy.
Yeah, I would have been him.
You know what his career kind of was. I mean, he was a good actor, but every time once he played Roosevelt once, I don't think there was another made for TV or movie where he didn't play Roosevelt.
Really? Yeah. He got typecast, huh?
Well, but you know, but I mean, he was really good at it. he was Roosevelt in War and Remembrance, and then what's the other one? The one before that was
Teddy Roosevelt?
No, he was Franklin.
Oh, really? Oh, he looks more like a Teddy Roosevelt.
I think he was in the Winds of War and in War and Remembrance.
Well, I'll tell you, Bill Murray did a pretty good FDR.
Yeah,
I
he did.
I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, it was. I mean, FDR was a kind of a, well, in a lot of ways, physically was a strange duck because he caught that. It wasn't really polio. There's some disease that's closely associated with polio, and he didn't get it till he was he mid-30s?
Yeah.
I mean, he actually, but he was a serious athlete. I mean, he swam from one island to the other out on Cape Cod somewhere, and when he got out of the water, he felt like he had a little chill, and on Sunday he was paralyzed.
Hmm.
He had a Navy career and everything else.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was an officer.
Yeah, him and Hoover were in the same administration. They were in Woodrow Wilson's administration.
Yeah, and he went to all these, in those days, you went to all these, you know, you went over to the hot springs and all that other stuff if you had these kind of diseases.
Yeah.
And his upper body was about as strong as anybody's. He could sit there and hold himself up. You wouldn't know it when he's giving a speech for like an hour with his hands.
Mm.
And he had some bracing from the braces on his legs, but pretty much, it was all upper body.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty scary stuff, you know, when those guys, anyway, but that's, we get back in there and sell. then one of the guys says, like, your brother had a heart attack? Screw him. Get back in there and sell.
Dude, that movie's, I can only watch it on TNT or TBS because, you know, of the gratuity in it. But, man, I'll tell you, that's one of the funniest movies. And they just did it right. I think, I mean, was Aykroyd the writer in that, or did he help write it? But
I don't know. I thought it was the other guy, the guy who did Stripes.
Yeah, but maybe. Yeah. But man, I think they got a lot right in that movie.
What was the girlfriend? Was she the perfect Buffy or what?
Jamie Lee Curtis. I mean, she every teenage boy in the 80s knew who she was.
Yeah.
In Friday the 13th, right?
Yeah, she was. Anyway, she's I listened to Chairman Powell yesterday, and I hope, God, if I ever, I don't want to say anything stupid, like, because we just had somebody shot at and two people, somebody killed. I was going to say if I ever give an interview like that with those kind of softball questions, throw a water balloon at me, will you please?
Yeah.
I mean,
isn't that what most politicians do now?
Well, they
go on friendly media, right?
Yeah, if they don't give the talking points. Well, it's not just the politicians. Dr. J's telling me that on CNBC, if they want, like today, you know, United Health is going to have their earnings, right?
Yeah.
Stocks up $3. Maybe they already came out. I'm not sure. But if the chairman, you want the chairman on first. You don't want him on Fox. You don't want him on Bloomberg. But the chairman, he's going to give you a list of questions. And if you go off field, he's never coming back.
Yeah, he's not coming back. Yet,
the idea now. How do you talk about the inflation race that we've had, and let the chairman talk to you about COVID supply chain issues and not once talk about a bulge in money supply 40%?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you not talk about that interview, and how do you, and what's happened in the last month with the market, the dollar, and everything else? How do you not ask him, hey, big guy, when are you bringing back the weekly money supply numbers? Because clearly something's happening.
I think most people are. I think a lot of people are just cowards, man. They don't want to be asked tough questions. They don't want to look bad. There's very, very few people with incredible leadership qualities out there. I don't see very many at all. And people get siloed in their media, right? And Twitter used to be a place where the conversations we had about the assassination this weekend, the conversations we had, they would have been dialed down and turned off, and there would have been only one narrative. The states and the corporate legacy media's narrative that they wanted to push. That would have been the only thing that would have been allowed on Twitter all weekend long. But I'll tell you what, you know, the thing that John Stuart Mill talked about in his piece on Liberty about the exchange of ideas, the collision of bad with good in terms of opinions, it was happening on Twitter all weekend long. I couldn't get enough of it. And I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning exchanging ideas with people. And sometimes my ideas were wrong, and sometimes they were good, but I think Twitter had it right. I think it had it right, more right than what you're hearing on legacy media.
It is so it is so screwed up. I listened, when it first happened, I was listening to Newsmax. They couldn't say 30 seconds of actual what was happening without putting some spin on it. That the somehow
Fox News kept replaying the same video over and over and over for a couple hours.
But they kept talking about it. I mentioned this yesterday. Some guy comes on, and I guess he does a show on Newsmax, and he's your angry 35-year-old guy, conservative guy, and everybody else is, he's the manly party. The other guys are the other parties for wimps, gays, and liberals, that type of thing. One of those sort of guys. So he can hate everybody over there, right? But his point was, he actually said, I constantly call Biden like potato head and can't talk and some other, stutter head. He rattled off about four really awful things to say about anybody, much less the president. And he goes, but I'm not being mean-spirited. I would never drive somebody to, take a shot at him. Now, the guy's going after Trump. They're way more mean-spirited. And all here's a guy is a great American trying to cut my taxes and cut regulation, and people don't like the guy. And I'm sitting there, what are you talking about? Your insults are okay and somebody else's aren't? I mean, how do you listen to yourself say that and not go, God, I can't believe I just said that.
Well, I think people just get so blinded in their silos. I mean, they're in an echo chamber, and they're having conversation with people that think the same way they do, that say the same things they do. And I'll tell you, if you don't want that kind of life, if you don't want that kind of, if you want to be challenged, go into a college classroom where, probably most of the kids are eager to learn things, but they're probably 90%, left of center, right? Some of them probably don't even know why. And in the classes I taught at Westminster.
Yeah, the problem with that, though, Al, is that the center keeps moving. Do they even know where they are?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't mean-spirited or anything. I mean, there's a couple of times where I was a little mean-spirited because they didn't like their grade. But for the most part, they asked me a bunch of questions, and they constantly challenged me. And I never asked rhetorical questions. I was never smug about it. And if I didn't know the answer, I just said, well, I don't know the answer to that question. I'll get back to you. But when you're siloed like these people are, I think most people in power live in a constant state of fear. Right.
Oh, sure.
And so they're going to make sure things are tilted toward themselves. Right. They don't. Hillary Clinton never asked a really tough question. Answer a tough question. Maybe the reason why Kamala is so bad at interviews because she never faces tough media. Maybe she's always facing friendly media that want her to look good. Right. I think that happens on the left. And that happens on the right.
Well, we had remember it was last Wednesday. We had Russell's young daughter, and she was saying that, and I was surprised because she's and she's in Washington, and she's as bright as they get. And I mentioned to her that I was talking to a state senator, and who happened to be retired from Portage, and how I talked to her for like an hour, and I was fascinated by different committees she was on and what she had to learn to do something. And she goes, "Chief, all you're getting are their talking points." And I go, "No, I'm old enough at this. I can get by somebody's talking points. I know what a talking point is." And she said, no, you can't. They're never going to drop. Well, they did, or she did, and I don't think she was giving me a bunch of talking points, because I took media training for a night. I know what talking points sort of are, and some people never want to get by them. This is my position. This is what I'm doing. That's all I'm talking about. Well, it's okay to a degree, but at some point you sound like a buffoon. But we seem to go with that. Then you could even go even more, like Bill Clinton was the one who started having focus groups for questions, and he would answer the question the way he thought people wanted him to answer it. I mean, it starts to get that, but I don't know that anybody really wants. But I caught myself yesterday saying something about why didn't the policeman, just communicate right away with the Secret Service and stop the thing when he saw the guy on the roof. And so I couldn't wait. I'm sitting there going, no, wait a minute. That was a pretty dumb thing to say, Chief, because you don't even know if their communications are set up together. So I couldn't wait to talk to Carl this morning because I know he knows that stuff. But, I mean, at least I asked the question this morning. And Carl said, no, if you want it together, you probably need two people in a spot where one's getting it from one guy and one's the other, and they're exchanging information. Now, was that set up? Should it be set up? Whose job is to set that up? I mean, everybody's convinced that they know what happened and how it should have been fixed. And, oh, by the way, if there should have been 30 people there instead of 20, it's obvious that you know that Biden planned the assassination or something, or if you know two Secret Service people are on the can, some liberal gave him the bad hamburger the night before. I mean, some people are so entrenched with this without really even knowing how this even works out. I don't know who's supposed to do what with who. I mean, is there a protocol?
Well, I think everybody can agree that one dude should have been on that roof, right? Because a clear line of sight, 150 yards to the podium, and there was nobody on that roof. And there are videos of people screaming and yelling in the back of the rally saying there's a guy on the roof for 20 minutes. I read an article this morning before I came on at 6 o'clock this morning about how they observed this guy for like 30 minutes walking around nervously.
Well, they had a bolo on him.
He's carrying a rangefinder. He's carrying a rangefinder with him. He's going back. He got a backpack now. They're following this guy around. He's got a rangefinder. The guy was cased in the joint, apparently, for 30 minutes, and these guys didn't do anything.
The simple stuff, what they were saying on the radio when this first happened, I was in the car, and they were talking about, well, they first thought the shot must have come from inside. They were talking about how much you had to vet yourself to get into the thing. The question I'm asking is, where define in the stands or in the grounds? I mean,
well, it didn't include that building, that AGR building.
Well, so
AGR,
that's what I'm saying. If that was
did not include that.
You know, but I don't know what everybody's you know bitching at the everybody's bitching that you know the Secret Service should have done this. Okay, again. Something bad happened, and they need to answer some questions. I get that part. But now the outside people are local law enforcement. Who says how many of those you need? If they say we have 20 people and there's 30 buildings, well, guess what? You don't have somebody on every building. I mean, duh. Now, did they say they needed 40 and only 20 were available? And did the Trump people say, go on, we'll do it anyway, or we're not paying the overtime? Or did they say we needed 20? Trump's people said, okay, we're paying for the 20, and all of a sudden they showed up with 10. I mean, somewhere here there's a story, and everybody's opinion is, you know, what did Aaron Burnett say? Opinions are like bottoms. Everybody got one, and they all stink. I mean,
some opinions are better than others.
Yes.
And when you have free exchange of ideas, the bad ideas collide with the good ideas, and the good ideas win out, right? That's how it's supposed to happen.
But how does
that didn't happen 2 years ago on Twitter? That is not happening on Facebook today. That's not happening on Instagram.
Okay,
I think to some degree it's happening on Twitter.
See, now you get to be on those things because I'm a registered guy. The SEC has decided I can't do any of this stuff without 15 people watching me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, Tom, this is another thing I learned about the thing. I read an article in the AP News. Published by AP, about the sheriff of Butler County. He explained what happened when the cop poked his head above the roof. So this cop pokes his head above the roof, and we're told that this kid turned and saw him and was going to point his gun at the cop, and so the cop retreated. Well, in that article, he retreats down the ladder.
Yeah, his hands were on the ladder.
And the sheriff says, and the ladder is where? It's at the edge of the roof, the downward slope edge of the roof. The kid is laying in the opposite direction up the slope with his head over the peak with his gun pointed at the podium. Now, let me ask you this question. That whole statement is completely ridiculous. Why? Because it's probably noisy there. You got a big loudspeaker blaring things out. Why would the kid who's looking at the podium, aiming his gun at the podium, turn to look at the cop, right? Did the cop yell something? Now, a cop wouldn't yell something unless he had his gun drawn and pointed at the kid. His feet were on the ladder. I don't think he climbs up there. If he climbs up there with his gun holstered, I don't think he goes, hey, what are you doing up there with that AR-15? I don't think he does that. But they want you to believe that's what he did. And then when that kid turns, he retreats down the ladder? No. If that kid's head turned and saw him, the guy would have ducked his head below the roof line, unholstered his gun, and at least shot his gun over the roof, you know, for warning shots, or popped up And if the kid turned to him, he would have shot the guy. Or if the guy's going to pull the trigger at the
podium, nobody. As I'm saying, it's another one. Nobody knows what happened there. Carl was saying the same thing. He's, you don't just shoot.
Read the AP article. The AP.
But how are these guys getting these articles? I mean, I'm not saying the guy did, the article's no good. My point is,
yeah.
No. Unless you
the article is implausible. There's no way it would have played out like that.
Well, listen, it seems a little weird to me too, but I wasn't there. I know if my head popped up over a roof and somebody's aiming an AR-15 at me, I'd go back. I'd scurry down.
No, he's not aiming it at you though. He's aiming it in the opposite direction.
Okay.
He's not even looking at you. How does that guy know that you're behind him?
I don't know.
He doesn't know that you're behind him, so he's not going to turn around unless you yell something. And you're not going to yell something. You're not going to yell something at a guy with an AR-15.
Well, I'm just saying there's a few details here that we don't get, and you know, and I don't know the whole protocol from the top down, because Carl was just saying that Biden gave RFK Jr. Secret Service protection today, and I said okay. Now the question is, RFK Jr. wants to go to the Kane County Fairgrounds and hold a function tomorrow. How many people can they spare him? How many people does he have to pay for in local police? Who pays the overtime on the Kane County police or the city, whatever? How does this all work? Does anybody even know, or is everybody just spouting off their mouth? I mean,
well, I'm telling you one thing. I looked at the Google map of that location on Saturday with that building that the shooter was on, the would-be assassin, 150 yards from the podium. If you want, I mean, hypothetically speaking as a novelist, a fiction writer, writing these, political mysteries or whatever, if you wanted to plan an assassination, you basically had it. You had the kill box, right? You had cops inside the building the shooter was on, with a clean line of sight.
Well, you know what that building was? The staging building for the police.
Exactly, and the local police were inside the building.
Yeah.
So he didn't access the building from inside the building.
But
the roof of that building, if you look at pictures of it. That kind of metal roof, there's no access points. There's no doors to the roof. If there's a hole in the roof, it's because there's a vent bolted to the roof.
But how do
so
you,
the way on, only way on that roof is a ladder or maybe climbing on
it. Okay, so we'll back it up. The lady who was on our show a couple times, Karen Reeves, who ran for representative, and she ended up losing to Jesse Jackson's kid because he got a $1.5 million from the Bitcoin guy like 2 weeks before the election, and was able to buy advertisement, plus he has the name, and so she loses narrowly to him. There was somebody else right there too. Now she was telling us on the air that she went to several places because they extended the, now she's a black lady, but they extended that district way south of I-80, which means you're talking horse country and, pretty much Republican country. And I said, well, how did you do it to something county fair where there isn't a black person in a million miles? And she goes, I'm fine with that. I have no problem with it. She goes, I'm a mother. She adopted a blind kid, for God's sake. And she's a terrific lady. She goes, I match up with everybody. I don't feel I'm out of place anywhere. Okay, but it's not about her. What if she was going to win? Can you imagine? Have you ever been to I'm sure you have. I don't know about Ricardo. Have you ever been to a county fair?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I haven't.
But there's you go there, and there's always like a venue, a place where people can sit in the stands, where people trot the bulls and the cows through for the blue ribbons and all that stuff. And, depending on the size of the county, it holds, 2,000-3,000 people maybe. And there's a gazillion other buildings where all the horses are, the bathrooms are, the hot dog stands are. I can't think of a more non-secure place on earth.
Well, you got to remember, there's a difference between a current president and a former president, campaigning.
There are people
that literally want to kill these people.
Okay, but where does it end? Does that mean
The probability of her being assassinated at that fairground is probably pretty low.
All right, so what if she's been in office five times and has made somewhat of a name of herself? Or what if she's a senator? Where's the line, I guess, is my question.
Well, but she's a representative in a district that's pretty relative to the United States or relative to a state, it's pretty homogeneous, right?
No.
So
the district
the people that don't like her have their own representative that maybe they'd like less.
The district happens to be 60% all black and 40% all white Republican.
Yeah.
So she's got two districts that they somehow piece together. I mean, we're talking Illinois. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking Illinois where we try and get.
Well, they had to gerrymander the county so they could take. You know, they don't want districts that are 100% black because that would mean that their districts.
Well, my district. This is not U.S. representative. My district state senator.
Oh, and the state rep. Senator. Okay.
Well, no, not her. She was going for the U.S. House, but in my district. The place we hear of all the West Side where all the shootings are, that's my district. And yet there's a finger of that district. It's got to be 85-90% black in the hood, basically. And a finger runs down the street up into my area, and they clip maybe 10 or 15% of the people from, quote, Lincoln Park.
Yeah.
That don't know any of these people. they don't. With the thought of them even campaigning we clip. You know, 15% of this area that's not going to do anything, and okay, they're part of our district. Well, nobody's going to come campaign on my block. Of course, my block's, I think it's safe. But I mean, if I ran in my district, I'd look like a fish out of water, for God's sake.
Yeah.
But anyway, SP Futures up 10, NASDAQ Futures up 51. My point is, I mean, you gave an opinion, all right? And by the way, I love your opinion. You said, at that level, nobody's going to assassinate her. Yet, I don't know, the kid who shot up everybody in Highland Park, look how many people he assassinated.
I'm not saying nobody will. I'm saying the probability is
okay,
really close.
But I'm saying right now, how many 20-year-old kids that we got sitting in people's basements without a job, hating all day long on some kind of stuff, and the old man just happens to have 15 guns upstairs? There's got to be hundreds, thousands of those people countrywide.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you, what about that? How many more kids are out there like this kid?
Yeah.
Hundreds, thousands? How many does it take?
Well, COVID made it worse. COVID, the lockdowns, COVID, everything.
Oh, yeah.
That made it worse.
SP Futures up 12, NASDAQ Futures up 56. Don't you think if you had 20 guns and you knew one of your kids was unstable, you might have them locked up or something? But I guess that would be me.
Well, my relatives that have that situation have gun safes, and they're all locked. Or they have a fingerprint box that they're 9mm, their bedside.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
They're locked up.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our Better Business Bureau A-rated team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Call now for a free case review and a low price guaranteed quote to get you protected today. Call now. 800-388-4901. That's 800-388-4901. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-388-4901.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ricardo on the board. SP Futures up 12, NASDAQ Futures up 59, Dow Futures up 70. We have stocks that had some earnings. We had United Health is up 863. That's 1.5%. That's in the Dow. We had Amazon up 188. Got Intel up, IBM, I'm sorry, up 232. IBM's had a pretty good run this year. So we had the Chairman Powell on yesterday. We'll talk a little more about that. Over in Europe, Europe is not liking the way we've been going the last couple of days. They've been going down. The DAX down 95.5%, FTSE down 41.5%, CAC around down 59%. That's 0.8%. They still have some political issues over there, although they're pretty much resolved, I think. Nikkei up 84, 41,275. Hang Seng down 287, back under, it's 1.6%, back under 18,000, 17,727. Shanghai, again, is very stable, up 2 points, 29.76. Not really showing any great desire to get back over 3,000 here in the last few days. Yesterday, Dow was up 210, and S&P futures were up 15, NASDAQ up 74. Yet another record, I think, for the S&P and the NASDAQ. Bonds are down 3 basis points, 4.20. The Bund down 4 basis points, 2.43. Japan down 2 basis points, 1.02. Oil down $1.42 now, 80.49. So it's come back from the top part of the range. It was up to 82.83 for a while. Brent down 126, 83.59. Natural gas up 2 cents, 2.18. RBOB down 3 cents, 245. We've got gold run up coming here, $18, 24.47. Interesting to see if it gets through 24.50 and stays there. Silver up 20 cents, 31.13. Every time it's gone over 31, it's got snapped back, but maybe not this time. Copper down a penny, 4.50. Bitcoin up 403, 63,949. And here's the one that's got me very concerned. The dollar move here. Euro's up to almost 109. 108.9, and the British pound's almost at 130, 129.5, which leads me to believe that the Fed is pouring money into the system. Of course, they won't tell us. Only some people get those numbers. How's that for a shot? Ricardo, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Morning, Chief. Currently 7:36 a.m. here in beautiful Chicago. 70 degrees right now with a high of 80. Mostly cloudy and cooler, but humid. Tonight will be partly cloudy and humid with a low of 69 degrees. On a Phoenix, 90 degrees right now with a high of 110. Mostly sunny and very, very warm. Breezy this afternoon. Tonight will be mainly clear, windy, and very warm with a low of 90 degrees. On a traffic in Chicago, inbound Kennedy from Monroe's, you're looking at 33 minutes, 61 minutes inbound Edens from Lynn Cook, 42 minutes inbound Eisenhower from Wolf, inbound Dan Ryan from 95th, 23 minutes, and Stevenson from 294 to the Dan Ryan is 35 minutes. Lastly, sports, MLB, the MLB All-Star Game is today at 7 p.m., National League versus American League. Argentina wins Copa America final 1-0 against Colombia. Uruguay takes third place. And finally, Spain wins Eurocopa 2-1 against England. That's all I got for you, Chief.
I have a real simple question for Ricardo, because I don't ask him much stuff today. I'm going to piss him off and ask him something. When you've got the final in Miami and you got a gazillion people running underneath the turnstiles into the place, so you have to delay the game an hour, and now you close off the entrances,
yep,
and piss off the people who actually have the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
When you finally let them all in, where do they sit if all the other people are sitting in their seats?
You should have seen it, man. The stadium was actually at capacity. People were starting to get worried and everything because they had like all the people sitting down at the, like they weren't even sitting down. They were just standing at the stairs and everything. It was just like a full sea of people, you know. And you think the people? Yeah, I mean, listen. Everybody was pissed off. Everybody that was trying to watch the game in their houses. Everybody that was trying to watch the game at the place. You know, it was just yeah. It was, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know. It was very disappointing to see, you know. I mean, I feel like we should do better as Hispanics.
More security. More security.
Oh, well, yeah, that definitely so, you know. But, I mean, they shouldn't even be trying to get in there in the first place, you know. Like, they shouldn't even be trying to get in there without a ticket. And it's just, you know, it puts people in danger and everything. And I saw a whole bunch of people, you know, a whole bunch of Colombians and Argentines, you know, just like... you know, throwing themselves off like cliffs and stuff, like different like levels and stuff, you know, just trying to get away from the security. I don't know. It's just, it wasn't nice, man. I just wanted to see some football, you know.
Well, so I was jealous of some of those fat guys getting underneath that turnstile better than I could.
yeah, that's true.
Some of them were pretty limber.
Yeah.
Hell, wherever you look, it seems like things are sort of crazed. I'll ask you a political question.
Well,
here.
Tom, I actually think things have always been crazy.
Maybe.
But now we have 24/7 media, social media. Everybody's got a phone. Everybody's a reporter. Everybody's a journalist. And so we think things are going crazy. When, if in fact we put down our media, we put down our phone, and we just kind of live in the world, we're going to find that our worlds are really not that crazy.
You know, I don't know. I don't know about that. It's hard to argue that point when I was younger. I was, I don't want to say foolish enough to have tickets to Cubs forever, and and my cousin had tickets to the Bears, and you know, the fans are, you know, reasonably pro whatever. I don't know if it's the same as people are for soccer, but because it's more of a national sort of thing. But I never saw anybody piling in without tickets. I never saw people rushing the turnstiles. I mean, for World Series games, I never saw anything like that. Maybe if I went now, I would. But I never saw anything like that.
We saw political parties. Woodrow Wilson and FDR imprisoned thousands and thousands of Woodrow Wilson imprisoned thousands of Germans for being German, and FDR imprisoned thousands and thousands of Japanese. One was my grandpa's neighbor. Thousands and thousands of Japanese. So there's been violence against people.
Oh yeah,
maybe,
oh no doubt
about
that.
The violence is coming from different areas, right?
There
was the mountain of skulls.
I don't want to dig into it too heavily here, but the whole deal about Roosevelt and the Japanese internment camps. He pretty much, from a lot of the stuff I've read. Now, of course, people might be screening him from it. Pretty much what I've read is he was so zeroed in, and his expertise was Europe. And he pretty much kicked the entire conduct of the Japanese war to even domestically to whoever his Secretary of State was. Hmm. And all, according to this, all the stuff that people being interred and stuff, it wasn't like he surely didn't say, no, you can't do that. But it wasn't him that said, yeah, we need to do this either.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really strange. I mean, there was a book I have at home. I read maybe two-thirds of it. It had to do with the Pearl Harbor ghosts and all the things regarding when they put the alerts up. A lot of people did nothing but watch the Japanese people on the island. They didn't do really much of anything for an attack from the sea where it came from. Yeah. And yet, incompetence, they actually did have a couple of... maybe one guy, you know, an assistant, who actually was a Japanese spy on the island. And in the movie, you see the movie in Pearl Harbor, and you see it, what's the one with Burt Lancaster and Frank Sinatra, the one where they won the Oscars for, God bless.
The only one that I remember watching is In Harm's Way, which I love.
Yeah,
Harm's Way is really excellent.
Okay, but there's kind of another one. But every one of these movies about about Hawaii,
yeah.
When you come down from the mountain into where Pearl is, there's this one turn in the road that's still there, which kind of an overpass. And it was in the, God bless it, Ricardo, please, before I shoot myself in here without a gun. What was the movie Frank Sinatra ended up getting the big role? Was Ernest Borgnine. It was over Montgomery Cliff was in it. But also in Pearl Harbor, there's this spot overlooking Pearl Harbor that if you wanted to take a picture of the ships that were in there, you would go to this spot. Well, evidently...
I think you're talking about Diamond Head, right?
Yeah, there's a spot there where the one guy who was the spy... Despite them looking at all the other Japanese citizens, the guy was able to drive up there every day with nobody there, take his pictures, and ship them off to Japan. Yeah. We watched every spot but the spot that the person was going to go see.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a unifying, repeating theme in the history, right? The one spot that you know you should guard, the roof at that Butler County grounds rally, and... the Diamond Head Peak.
Well,
that's where you should be looking.
Instead, you could knock me over a feather last night when
they accused all the Japanese American citizens without trial, and they interned them.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. From Here to Eternity is the movie.
I've never seen that one, but I like.
Oh God,
Harm's Way is good.
It's a classic flick. I mean, look at the people who are in it, for God's sake. Yeah. Burt Lancaster, Frank Sinatra, Montgomery Cliff. Anyway,
have you seen In Harm's Way?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh man, the. The Kirk Douglas character?
Yeah.
What a monster, right?
Yeah, what a character. But competent. Hey, I got a question
for
you.
He's a good friend, but he's a monster, right?
Yeah, I need him. What do you say? I need him, but I don't know if I like him very much. But, I was watching today or reading this article here regarding Elon Musk and Ken Griffin. And we mentioned a little bit the other day about how we're in a society where we constantly on the show have the debate back and forth about the news media, right? Because everybody's bitching about the news media, and kind of rightfully so. And my And my own thing is, not individually, but collectively, I think one of the reasons why we don't have as good a news media is we, the people, don't want to pay for reporters anymore. You know, we just
We also want our views reinforced, right? I don't want my views reinforced. I want my views challenged. I think most people want their views reinforced.
I was before that. I'm just saying, we don't have a city desk anymore, so it shouldn't shock people when we don't have 15 articles, but what goes on in Chicago overnight, because we don't have 15 people to write them, and we don't want to pay for it. But what I'm going with this is that now Elon Musk, who just got it, you know, the guy's whatever, he's a genius, he's something. He just got this 50.
He's a great marketer.
Yeah, right? He's got this 50.
Selling people on the idea that his car is going to be self-driving.
Well, but he's got a 50-some billion-dollar paycheck from his company. Now, I'm going to say that $10 billion of that could have gone out as a dividend. They never pay a dividend, okay? If the company's doing that good, somebody should get money besides him, like maybe the investors. Now, he's a big investor. He owns a lot of stocks, so it's not he'd get some of the dividend. But, you know, here's a guy, we're giving him all this dough. Now, all of a sudden, he's giving $45 million a month, what, to the Trump campaign? So now he has his political power. He's not just... And now Ken Griffin is doing the same thing from Citadel. I don't have an axe to grind with Ken Griffin that much, but now we've got a situation where, when I was younger, there were 2,000 traders on the floor that, you know, made a living. The markets, I thought, in a lot of ways, were pretty good. If you take the electronics that we have today and put it back then, it would have been really, really good. And now a few people control all the order flow. They pay for the order flow for people. To me, the industry is set up absolutely as crooked as it all can be.
Oh.
Without a doubt.
Tom, I need to share this video of this guy on Twitter. His first name's Ian. He was talking those derivatives.
Yeah.
It would blow your mind. And then the fact that the top three investment firms that include, what, BlackRock and Vanguard.
Yeah.
They pretty much have the controlling voting control of these major corporations.
Well, they didn't used to vote them, but now I think they do.
Yeah.
What I'm saying now, but now if it's just a guy making a bunch of money, okay, well, you know, that's America. I don't really, you know. But now all of a sudden, the guy who's making all the money that 2,000 people used to make now thinks he's not just a market maker. He's going to be this political force.
Yeah.
And now it's money from payment for order flow that's now going to pick the president. Do I really want that? Do you really want that? I don't know how I stop it. I mean, I'm not going to, sure as hell not, you know, I mean, but is that what we want? We not only are going to make these people icons, and we're going to put money in the system, and we're going to let their stock run to the moon, and oh, by the way, they're going to get to borrow 2% when the rest of the population makes 20, but now they're going to run our political system on top of it? I don't know if I'm ready for that, Al, but it's right in front of me, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, when people talk about free markets, and they criticize capitalism and free markets, they're not really criticizing capitalism and free markets. They're criticizing our current system, which is very mercantilist. And the government has allowed these cartels to form. And these cartels
they control the government.
Yeah, they're hidden in the background. And we don't really understand how bad the cartelization has become. We really don't understand it. And if people dug a little deeper, their minds would be blown away about how bad it is.
Bezos buy the... probably the best newspaper in the country, right? The Washington Post?
Yeah.
And how does that happen? Now, people say it's capital.
You got to listen to this guy. He did a great summary on the GameStop Roaring Kitty controversy. It just blows your mind.
What did Kenny call him? Little Kitty?
Little Kitty. Well, you know, that guy and Roaring Kitty and their compadres, they're the ones that are kind of like disciplining the market. Because what happens is these massive banks, according to him, banks like Bank of America have trillions and trillions of dollars wrapped up in these derivatives based on naked short selling.
Oh, sure.
And naked short selling is short selling where the guy hasn't borrowed the share to sell, right? And the idea is that if you short sell it enough and you continue to short sell it enough with your pals, the stock price will be driven to zero. And the company fails, and then you never have to borrow.
Well, there's no
the shares. You don't have to buy the shares back.
Yeah, but there's no connection between a stock being forced down and the company doing well.
Yeah.
Right. In people's perception.
Well, what happens is, according to this guy, the Mitt Romney and Bain Capital, I think they did this to Toys R Us, right? They mismanaged the company on purpose to drive its stock price down. Meanwhile, they're short selling it. That's according to him.
Well, right? That takes somebody pretty smart. You got a lot of things going at the same time.
You know, Mitt Romney's a really smart guy. I never voted for him, but he's a pretty smart dude.
Well, the biggest, I don't have a problem with people shorting a company because it's you know.
Well, I don't either.
But
when we're talking about naked shorts.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Stock is never borrowed to sell.
Well, you got to borrow. You got to deliver it.
What's a naked short?
No, it's not. You got to if I sell you. Let's pick one here on my screen. If I sell you 10,000 shares of SQ squared, it just happens to be in the middle of my screen here. If I sell you that, what do you get in 2 days? Actually, we're 1 day settlement now. It used to be three. What do you get?
Well, that's how we think it works.
No, you get. I got news for you.
I think you're talking about a short. A little.
No. I'm saying, hell, think of the other side. Okay, if you come to PTI and you say I want to buy 1,000 shares of squared, all right, so. We buy it for you. Guess what? A day from now, it's in your account. It came from someplace. That's why when you short a stock, you have to borrow it to deliver to somebody. I'm not going to tell you. Oh, by the way, Al, Mitt Romney promises me to give. Man, I don't think my brother could do that. Man, don't worry, it'll show up in a year. You're not gonna go for that. You're gonna get your stock.
Apparently, the way this kind of works is they use heavy leverage, 100-to-1 leverage, right? They use collateral for the collateral that are different stocks that they're not shorting, and then they short this other stock, and that other stock is used as collateral in a different short.
Sometimes you and I can run off the end to where we don't have a few minutes left, but I'll roll. There's a huge internet. Now, when I was involved in this, when I was on the floor, the rules have changed a little bit. But let me give you somewhat of a historical version on this. Now you're supposed to locate the stock that you can borrow before you short it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now it wasn't always like that. You could short the stock. So okay, if the person who sold it or who bought it, he gets it from someplace. Now the question is, if all these people bought it and a bunch of people sold it and not everybody borrowed, okay, who gets skunked first? It's called a fail to deliver.
Yeah.
You know, where they send me something and say, you guys sold 10,000 shares of the stock like you're talking about. Where the hell is it? You better go borrow and get it to us because we want it. Well, in those days, and this, you know, this goes on, I could talk for an hour on this, but in those days, if you just knew the game, you would ignore the fail to deliver. And all the other people who actually paid attention to the rules, they would deliver and kind of cover you for a while. So in other words, it might be another day. You might get another 10 days to get the stack or something along those lines. So you could, if you really knew the system, you could ignore all these pieces of paper till finally on the last day, like you had to do something. Or you could go down and do an option trade that got you where you essentially delivered that short stock or bought that stock back and shorted another set, to which the circus starts all over for you.
Well, I think the way this kind of works is when that stock price is being shorted and people short on shorts and shorts and shorts, that stock price is being pushed down. They have their partners.
Okay, but somebody somewhere, I'm just telling you, somebody has to deliver to the person who bought.
But when you have your partners in the media talking about, you're telling them how bad this company is, how poorly run it is, the legitimate investors of those stocks, they get spooked and they sell, right? And what happened with GameStop is that I think the stock price got down to like 50 cents a share. And guys like Ian and Roaring Kitty and their compadres bought, and they're just holding the stocks. They're not selling.
Well, there's no doubt that what those guys can do, or Roaring Kitty, by the way, this is going to sound wrong. Remember the movie Goldfinger?
Yeah.
And the lady, Honor Blackman, her name was Pussy Galore? Well, they were originally going to name her.
Was that Beyonce?
No, it was Honor Blackman.
Oh, okay. Now, Beyonce was in one of those.
Maybe one of the late ones. But this
are you talking about Goldfinger?
Yeah, that's like 1964, yeah. I mean, Beyonce wasn't in that.
I thought you were talking about, what's his name from Saturday Night Live?
No.
Goldmember. I thought you were talking about Goldmember.
No, not Gold. So, but the they originally weren't going to name her Pussy Galore. They were going to use something Kitty instead. So whenever I hear this guy's name, Roaring Kitty, I think of that was the name they were going to give the Pussy Galore. I guess you got to be old enough to know that. But no, what happens here is that's why these guys are. One of the things that I don't understand when you see the Bill Ackmans and those people on TV, and they're all talking about a company, they don't like the board, and they're short the company. Well, they might start shorting a company of 30, and now it's down 10 to 8, 10 or 8 or 6. Now, somehow or another, if it was me, I'm going to say I made my point. I proved my point. I don't want to sit here with 40 million shares or 10 or 5 or 10 shares, for that matter, for a client. Short a company, I don't want to short anything at $8 or $10. I mean, what's the matter with me? So I'm going to want to buy that. But then what the Roaring Kitty guy's doing, people like that, they look to see, why does Ford, which it doesn't, by the way, why does Ford have this massive short interest? Yeah. And now what do you do to goose a short, right? You start buying it. All of a sudden, if a guy's short the stock, and now it's, instead of trading 14.27, Ford's trading right now up 4 cents. What if it's 25 tomorrow and I'm short the stuff? Oops. Yeah.
Now, well, what you do if you're this cabal that's working together, you get your friends in the media to talk about how horrible the company is, and that spooks the people that currently own it and turns them into sellers.
What do you think Bill Ackman does every time he comes on TV? Yeah. Him and him, who's the other guy? Who's the Who's the guy he was fighting with on the one stock where he wanted to short it, the other guy wanted to buy it? Who's that guy? He was just fighting with Disney. His name, that old guy.
Ian just confirmed. I watched another video by this guy named Ian. He is the people that are pushing the stock on you, like Jim Cramer.
Yeah.
The stock's made its run, and the buyers are looking for suckers, so they're not holding the bag when the thing goes down.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of thought that.
That's true. It's called a pump and dump. People used to do that. Yeah. If you read anything, we got, I'm looking at the book right here. It's on my desk. The Year of the Great Crash, 1929. The first five chapters are all about banks doing pumping and dumping. Nothing changes.
Yeah.
I buy the stock at 10. I tell everybody else what a great stock it is. I know they should buy it at 20, and I sell it to them. Duh. No, nothing changes.
Well, Tom, I didn't read a book. I didn't read that book. I didn't read any book. I just watched the financial news, and eventually one day I'm like thinking, these guys aren't giving me stock picks.
No.
They're giving me the things that won for them over the last 6 months.
They're talking.
So I buy it. And I'm left holding the bag.
They're talking their book, as we say in the industry, or talking their position. I mean, if I ever came out one day, which I don't give stock advice because I'm very registered, I can't do it, I won't do it, okay? Because it's not right anyway. But if all of a sudden, I have discretionary authority over a real lot of my clients, I can trade their account. I don't. I just use I do in the sense that if we're talking about a covered writing program or a protective program, I'll do the option rolls and those kinds of things. I don't ever, if somebody has, 20,000 shares of Johnson & Johnson, one day sell his Johnson & Johnson and buy IBM. I mean, I don't do that. But theoretically, I could. I have that power, but I never do. Neither was, right, we don't do that. We're out calling somebody. But in theory, I could do some of that stuff, but I'm not going to. Why would I ever do that for a client if I actually want to do the job right? I mean,
Well, Tom, you're unique, I think, in this industry, right? I think you're unique. I think I'm unique in the economics.
Yeah,
profession.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Actually,
I don't.
You know what? You're not as unique as you think.
Trying to satisfy.
I'm not insulting you.
Monetary
here.
Gain. I'm not trying to satisfy the Republicans or the Democrats because I want a cushy job in 5 years when I'm done teaching. I love teaching. I'm going to probably teach until I die. I'll probably die in the classroom talking about Hayek and Keynes, right? So I think there are a few people that are really good at what they do and they're passionate about it. And they might not be the most successful, but man, I'll tell you, the quality of life, to me, we're here temporarily.
Yep.
And we can't take anything with this when we pass on to whatever's next, right? So I'm gonna enjoy my life. I'm going to do it with principle. And I'm not going to compromise, but I want to continuously learn and exchange ideas with people.
You are unique. I'll say that for you. That's not a. But I'm going to say.
Well, I think you're unique too, Tom.
You have
your client's best interest at heart.
You are 95% of Milton Friedman, maybe 90. You have almost the exact same, not necessarily what you write down and stuff, but your view of the world and how. competition is best for everybody, and it should be held that way, and you don't confuse crony capitalism with competition. You are exactly like him in that thought process.
Yeah. Well, you also have to be pragmatic. That's what the Austrian school doesn't do. They're not very pragmatic.
Well, before there was an Austrian school, whatever his school was, you're there. Before there was an Austrian school. It's all about competition. And it's in simple stuff. Do I need...
Unaided competition.
Yeah, do you need, 100 federal regulators, concerning about safety with something you buy, or should that be the job of UL Industries, which is not on the take like the government is? Do people want somebody inspecting goods for them? Probably. Does it have to be the government? No. Right?
Yeah.
I always
say that government failure or market failures are molehills next to the mountains of government failures. Government failures are colossal. And we saw that this weekend.
Well,
colossal.
Well, but on what level?
I joked with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on Twitter. I go, hey, I heard the Secret Service was actually finally approved for you. Are you sure you want that after what happened?
Hey, why don't you invite him on the show? If you're buddies, invite him on the show. That'd be cool.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he's ever responded to one of my tweets, but Elon Musk did like one of my tweets on Saturday.
Yeah, but now that he's, whatever, I'd love to have him. That'd be cool. That'd be a coup, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear from him.
Well, you don't ask, you don't get, as they say. S&P futures up 10. The S&P futures up 53. You ever heard that? Ever heard that term, Ricardo? You don't ask, you don't get.
No.
Anyway, it's out there. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
That's all, folks.